Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
We'll with tonight's guests, cancer crushers Allison Phelan Egan and Ethan Zahn.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest Brad Kahn. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
And here we are. Ooh, we're laughing already, and it's a great way to start, especially since what we gonna be talking about isn't always a laughing matter. And interestingly enough, we have somebody in the studio. We're going to have somebody in the phone a little bit who have found ways to either, I'm not going to say it actually because I'm going to wait and let them say it. But the point is that we're going to have some fun with a subject that's not fun. We're going to make it sexy. And when most people don't consider it sexy. And what we're talking about is cancer. And there's a way to deal with it that some people we've come to know have dealt with it, have beat it, have crushed it, have kicked it. And they're here to tell us what they did, how they did it. And one of the most important things is their state of mind. You know, it's interesting also that both of these two that we're going to have on, we already know who it is, Allison and Ethan. But Allison, you know, one can say, so what are you going to do when you're famous or when you have all this attention or when you have your own show or whatever? And so she's done it and she's used her fame to bring awareness to something that's very important to her. Well, Ethan, when people say, what are you going to do with your money? If you won the lottery, what would you do? Well, Ethan won $1 million on Survivor Africa. And what did he do with his money? He started a foundation. He started an organization that helps children, et cetera, et cetera. And now he's using more of his fame for bringing awareness. So, you know, it's interesting how even I had to think about this myself. When I talk to my clients, what would you do with if money were no object, blah, blah, blah. And people talk about the houses and talk about the careers and all that stuff. And here are two people who have used their fame and their money to help other people. So my hat's off to them. I can't wait to talk to both of them. And later on, we're going to have a musical guest who's doing his own way of all of this. Brad Kahn. With his music and with his interaction with the world and organizations as well. So we've got a show for you, and it starts right... Well, it already started. We'll be back right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show. We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio. I'm sitting here with our co-host, Mark Legere. And you know what, Mark? I thought for a second there, well, wait. With more fame and more millions of dollars, we would do more of this and much, much more. So we're kind of there, too. We're all there.
Well, you touched on multiple threads. You know, this is such an important topic or topics. But raising awareness for what both of our guests are doing, not only having you know, once you hear their stories and what they've overcome, but what they're doing with that. I mean, those are individual topics, you know, just using fame, using your story, but then having overcome and persevered. It's an important show.
Absolutely. And actually, both of these people are sexy, and they're not. They're talking about something that hasn't been considered sexy, and they're looking for, they're actually using their themselves as a way to say, hey, we're still not only alive, we're thriving, and we're still sexy. And so, you know, we don't have to be negative about whatever happens to us.
That's the big thing that comes across with both of them is, in fact, I'm looking at their pictures right now, and the smiles, the genuine bright smiles, to you know, have attacked what they've attacked and to come through the other side that way. And I know there's so many that are struggling with this. Mm-hmm. In fact, we just learned of another story with another family related to us. You know, so this is something that, that we need more of, is to be able to, you know, address it head on and be able to smile at it and persevere.
Well, I have to say that on the way to the show today, I was running a little late, and I have a brand new phone, so I was trying to get the phone to talk to my car, and so it turned on the radio, something I never do, actually, in the car. And while I was trying to get the phone to talk to the car, the radio was playing a song, and it was my dad's song, who died of cancer. So Father's Day is coming up, and we're having the show, and this song comes on, which is the song we played at his funeral. So it's very near and dear to my heart. So I'm glad we're having this conversation. So with that, let's start with you, Missy. We've got Allison Phelan Eakin on the show, and where do you start? I mean, TV personality, writer, speaker, former Miss World Canada runner-up, a dancer, model, actor, I mean, cheerleader. come on. I mean, at one point, I have to say this, at one point, she's like, I wanted to go to the fame school. And then she does. I mean, anyway, I'll say more after we introduce her. Welcome to the show, Allison Phelan Eakin.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. I'm having a great time already just listening to you.
So that's the thing. You seem like you were having a great time like minutes after you were born. It's like, oh, okay, I'm on this planet now. Now I want to do this, and this.
Let's have some fun. Yeah, exactly.
So when did you, like, when did you start your first little big thing?
My first little big thing. Jeez, well, that's a long time ago. I think when I started acting and modeling really young, but even before that, I was doing plays in the yard, organizing, you know, getting all the kids together and putting on musicals. Even though I'm not a great singer, I still love to sing. And so I just, you know, I love life. When I was little, I was always curious and adventurous and excited, and I loved meeting new people, and I still do. And so that has just never left. I love life. I love it.
You live it to the fullest.
To the fullest.
So you started singing and dancing and acting as in the yard.
Yes.
And then you kind of took that to the stage, and you started winning pageants.
Yes.
And interestingly enough, we were talking earlier, you went for pageants, for the most part, that actually had meaning. It wasn't just about the beauty thing, which obviously was a part of the other pageants too. But you wanted something with more substance and meaning.
Well, I didn't really have anything to do with it in the beginning, because my mom came home one day and said, I entered you in the Miss Teen Vancouver pageant, because I am Canadian. And I said, oh, okay. And I didn't really know that much about it. And I was 16 and I was a dancer, so I knew about dance. So my focus for the pageant was to, you know, share my love, which was dance, and to be with a group of young women that cared about things, that had, you know, that had passion for people and for helping the community and for building that and being a part of it. And we had a great time, and I just happened to win, but it wasn't like, oh, I have to win. It wasn't like knocking, you know, other contestants off the stage to get there.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yes. You'd be surprised.
I wouldn't have expected that from you.
No, but didn't do that. So yeah, it was fun. We were just, you know, like a sorority. It was really fun. I didn't even think about the, you know, physicality of it. So, yeah.
Well, I'm sure being Canadian, I'm sure they approach their pageants a little bit different.
They do. They're much more down to earth and wholesome, dare I say, for the most part.
So speaking of down to earth and wholesome, and you wanted to be in and you auditioned for, was it the Dallas Cheerleaders?
No, the Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders were like, that was it. They were the cheerleaders. And I remember watching them on TV and I said, oh, I want to be a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader, but I lived in Vancouver. So I tried out for the BC Lions, which is CFL, Canadian Football League. And I got in. I was the youngest dancer, sports dancer. And that was another, you know, sisterhood that I loved and enjoyed. And now I know much more about football than I was actually when I was a cheerleader, because we were worried about our routines. But, oh, we had so much fun. It was great. Loved it.
And then you said, I'm coming to Hollywood.
Yeah, I want to go to Fame, because Fame was on back then. I'm like, I want to go to school like Fame. And I wanted to go to Juilliard, but that was a little bit out of our budget. So I auditioned for the American Academy. And I got a scholarship, and I came down here, and then I'm like, I'm staying, because I loved it, the feel of the city, it's so vibrant and fun. And also, I felt like I did stand out in Vancouver. I was raised in North Vancouver, and, you know, I was usually always overdressed, the loudest, the, you know, organizing.
So you fit right in?
Yeah, even now. So when I came down here, there were so many other people that I identified with, and I was just, you know, fascinated by this. Like, everybody had something that was different instead of blending. And I, you know, I love Vancouver. It's just a little bit more conservative. Whereas, you know, Los Angeles, New York, just like, it's, you know, constant impact, like our input. So I would have to live in a big city because I need that. I need to be fueled by all of these interesting characters.
And so even now, and I'm getting the sense throughout your whole life that you were different because you were different, not because you wanted to be different or you wanted to act different or stand out. You were just you, and you happen to be different. You happen to be the only one in the studio right now with glitter on her eyes. By the
That might be a good thing.
Yeah,
I guess you guys are going to do like a queen kind of.
No. But probably the only person within a couple miles of here. Let me put it that way. So good for you.
Thank you. I do love glitter.
So am I right about that?
Yes. I you know, I remember my ex-boyfriend saying to me, we went skating and with his friends. It was Christmas and I had a, you know, bright pink, like little, you know, ski suit and a puffy hat and fun gloves because it's like a costume. I like to costume. You might have guessed that by now. And so he's like, why can't you just blend in? And I said, Ooh. Well, why would I want to do that? Like, this is who I am. This is what I like. This is what feels good. I'm not going to change myself either way to make anybody else happy. It was uncomfortable for him, hence the breakup. But, you know, you have to express yourself in a way that, you know, makes you feel happy.
He could have put glitter on and
blended it with you.
I didn't. I had glitter then, but only for costumes. That didn't come late till later. But exactly.
This conversation, of course, is leading up to, and then something happened.
Yeah.
And what that something is cancer. And so when we come back, we're going to talk about this because underlying all of this fun and living life is somehow you found a way to do that while having cancer and kicking cancer.
Absolutely.
And so your way of approaching this whole situation, like you said, you even went to chemo with glitter on. All right, so let's save that. And you tell us how that even happens when we come back. And a little later on, we're going to be joined by Ethan Zahn, who's going to share his story and his experience, which is very different, and yet it's similar attitudes, I think. And then later on in the show, Brad Kahn with his music and something that he might share with us as well when we come back right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at LifeChangesNetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. Our guest is Allison Phelan Egan. And in a few minutes, our other guest, Ethan Zahn, is going to join us. In the meantime, Allison, we've already established, is this glitter girl. And I don't mean to. No, okay.
That's what my friends call me.
Oh, seriously? Sorry. Okay.
Seriously.
So, but in your personality and all of that as well. And then she got diagnosed with cancer. So mm-hmm. Talk to us about that.
Okay. So before that, you know, when you were going through my bio, I did this show with my partner called Clubbin', which was like a magazine style show. And it was on KTLA for a couple seasons, and we would hop from club to club. And then we branched out, and after, you know, the run ended, we went and I would do a lot of hosting. So well, I had cancer. I was still, you know, going to these events, these red carpets and these food and wine shows. And I was just all over the place. So I started to feel like, you know, I had problems with eating. My stomach would hurt. And, you know, I stopped eating as much, but I didn't think it was a big deal. I had rectal bleeding. I know this is a lovely topic, by the way. And so I decided to go to the doctor, and then she said that it might be something wrong. And then I waited 7 months because it wasn't that big of a deal. It wasn't affecting me that much, except that I was losing weight without doing anything, which to me is a blessing. So when I finally did go in for my colonoscopy, I remember, you know, looking back, and you're a little bit high because they put you under. And I remember saying to her, so everything's good, right, doc? And she said, oh, I'm going to have you come into the office. But I didn't think anything about it. So I called, she called me on Friday afternoon, which was a couple of days later. And she said, I need you to come in. I said, okay, what's next week like? And she said, no, I need you to come in right now. And I said, right now, Friday at like 2:30. And I, you know, I just knew. And I said to her, straight up, am I dying? And she said, no. And I said, do I have cancer? And she said, you need to come in. So I went in and she was lovely. We both kind of knew, you know, I've had so much luck with my doctors. I've had the most amazing doctors, so compassionate, caring, and connected with all of them. And I remember sitting there, I was in a haze and they were taking all my blood. And I just said to myself right then and there, like, okay, this is what God gave me and I am going to run with it because there's a reason why I've been diagnosed with stage 3 colorectal cancer. First of all, I didn't even think that, you know, women got rectal cancer. I don't know why that is. I guess you could figure that out. But, you know, I was in complete shock. I thought, you know, I didn't get breast cancer. Like why this? So there's not a lot of awareness, as much awareness. So I just feel like, you know, I'm special in getting Indeed. This unique cancer.
Well, good for you. Look at you. Well, of course you're on the other side of all this now.
Yes.
So you really kicked it to the curb.
Yes.
And so the interesting thing is like, I could just hear, if you still had that old boyfriend, I could just hear him say, why can't you just have cancer like everybody else and kind of just be quiet about it, especially this rectal thing. But here you are saying, hey, I've got rectal cancer and I'm a survivor and you can too.
Yeah, you can too. And you can do it with a smile on your face. My friends
ask
and I.
Ask me how.
Yeah. Ask me how. Let me show you. Now, my friends and I, you know, we had so many jokes about this. I mean, that part of your body, there are endless monologues and jokes. And, you know, I always
say, probably helpful.
Hugely helpful, because laughter, you know, is therapy. And, you know, now when I hear a rubber glove, I'm like, ow, like, bend, like, it's, oh, like, it's geez. Like we have these ongoing jokes about ASS cancer. And, you know, it's not funny, but...
Did you say ASS cancer? Yeah. And then she says, it's not funny, but...
It's a little fun. I mean, it's not... cancer's not funny, no. But the topic can be
yeah, embracing laughed the funny at. Is probably the best thing
yeah.
you did.
Yeah, we had to. I mean, I had to. One of my friends, the first thing that I said, when I told her, she said, well, didn't Farrah Fawcett have that? And I said, no, she had anal cancer. And can you please not talk about people that are dead? It's not helping me.
And honestly, that's the difference. I mean, what's the difference? I really don't know.
Just where it is.
A couple inches?
Yeah, a couple inches here
okay.
and there. Yeah.
Which, well, all right. And right. Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about people that live and...
Yeah.
And
inspire
and yeah and thrive
yeah so. And then through that, you know, through my journey, I mean, let me tell you, the community stepped up in ways that I could have never imagined. I connected with so many amazing people and this whole new world opened up. I mean, great people, just wonderful people, and so many random acts of kindness. And I mean, my relationship with God became so much closer, much more spiritual. I learned, you know, about spiritual leaders that I didn't know about because I had to watch TV all the time. And so, you know, I was on Oprah's channel a lot. And so I learned so much. So there was a reason why this happened. The reason for me was I needed to, like, you know, focus in. And I learned so much during that.
It sounds like you immediately, or at least very quickly, compared to at least some that I've heard, moved to that place of self-empowerment, deciding, well, there's a reason. And,
yeah.
and I think that has to make or have made such a big difference because,
you
know, I've known others that have been diagnosed and, you know, they go into a different spiral or give it different power or immediately are in the doom and gloom and then have to dig out of that. And so good for you. And that's part of, you know, a big reason why we're on the show tonight is to talk about that, because you are an inspiration that way. And I hope, you know, any of the listeners out there that have, you know, it themselves or people in their family can really kind of help, you know, them or their family snap out of it and really
yeah.
own that empowered place. It makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah. My doctor told me that there's no doubt in his mind that I would make it through because of my attitude.
Literally come out and said that. Your attitude.
Yeah, your attitude will save you. Like, you are determined to make it through. And I was. And, you know, how I looked at it, I'm like, okay, let's just do this. Let's get this done. What do we need to do?
You know, Mark's point is so well taken. And there, sometimes people have reasons, and the reasons they have are negative. Like, I know why I'm being punished for this, or and that's worse, right?
Way worse.
Way worse.
Well, nobody gets cancer because they're being punished. That's like ridiculous. But I also think that, you know, if you don't have the tools, if you don't have positive people around you, if you're already in a bad place, it's catastrophic news, let me tell you. I mean, you're facing the Grim Reaper. It's like you against death. I mean, it's big, but it's not going to help you to, you know, entertain dark thoughts. It's, you know, it's just going to make it worse. And that's with anything.
I'm just going to say, yes, anything.
Anything.
Losing a job, losing a family member, losing money, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So you've already said without saying, these are the things you want to do. And so let's just list them as if these are the things you want to do from someone who has done it. Because so many people get advice from like doctors who haven't necessarily done it, but they've seen the process. So, you know, I'm not saying that the doctors don't know. I'm saying that you've done it.
What did I done? Well, first of all, you have to get information and educate yourself. You know, talk to doctors, interview doctors. You have to be your own advocate for your health.
Taking control yourself.
Taking control and not just nodding and, you know, saying yes to everything. If something's not feeling comfortable or you don't have the right doctor, you have the power to change that. So you really need to be on top of that. And then once you have that down, and I really, you know, going to the internet can be a really scary place. So just keep in mind that everything that you read on the internet is, you know, not true. Because when I went there in the beginning, I was horrified. I was terrified. And, you know, cancer is so, you know, personalized that you cannot take that information and apply it to yourself. You know, you have to have a one-on-one experience with your doctor. And then I think it's really important to surround yourself with a team of positive people and, you know, reach out to your support group. And then another really, really big thing is submitting to the process, which I had a hard time doing in the beginning because I like to be the one who helps and I like to be the one who takes care of everything. And I like to be, you know, I want to be the one that you call. So now I'm in the other position, and I was not going to let it take me down. And unfortunately, after my first chemo treatment, I ended up in the hospital, and I had toxicity, and I was really sick. And one of my really close friends, knowing me and my personality, said, "Allison, you have got to submit to the process. You've got to allow this to help you heal." And it was just one of those moments, you know, where I just went, oh my gosh, yeah, you're right. Because I was fighting it, but not, you know, to benefit me. So after that, something happened. I mean, my doctor and I did change oncologists, but my doctor and I discussed it, and, you know, he made my cocktail, that's your what they call your chemo cocktail, a little bit lower, so I wasn't taking, like, the full 100%, and he said that was fine, and I could manage it much better for the rest of my chemo sessions. So submitting was a huge, big deal for me. It was hard to do, and asking for help, it was really, really hard for me to do. And I, you know, I had two little children, 4 and 6, and I did everything for them. And now it's hard for me to get up. Mm. So, you know, really submitting and then read positive things, watch positive movies, like input, listen to these spiritual leaders, go to TED Talks, you know, meet people like Ethan Zahn and Speaking of, talk about like an amazing person, like in every way, you know.
You are a good host because you're anticipating everything that I'm, you totally are.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So actually he's online with us and when we come back, he's going to join this conversation and tell us why.
Great. I can't wait.
No, you tell us why.
Oh, before, why he's on.
Yeah, real quick. And then we're going to, no, you tell us why. And then. Why is Ethan Zahn going to be with us? I mean, here's a guy, former professional soccer player, yes, right? And he's, I said earlier in the show, started the foundation with the money he made off of the TV show Survivor and all that stuff. But why is he joining us today?
Oh, because he's been, you know, a huge inspiration to me. Once you get into the cancer world, you start meeting all these people. And I met him through one of our friends in common named Johnny Immerman, who's another amazing cancer crusher. And so he introduced me and I didn't know that much about Ethan. And I was just so amazed and so inspired. So he, you know, he has helped me in so many ways. And, you know, I adore him and I'm so thankful he's in my life. And I know that it's not just me. It's like thousands and thousands of people. And I'm so happy that we have, you know, somebody like Ethan who has, you know, so many fans literally that can look up to him and go, wow, look at that guy. Like, look at what he's done. This is like, I mean, it's amazing. Not once, but twice he beat cancer. And, you know,
and may he never have to do it again.
No.
And thankfully, he's on the show with us today. So we'll be right back with you, Allison Phelan-Egan, and Ethan Zahn right after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
We are back. We are back with Allison Phelan-Egan and our guest joining us now, friend of Allison's, Ethan Zahn. Now, we said earlier in the show a little bit about what he had done and is still doing, actually. He's a former professional soccer player. He's a cancer survivor. And why we're going to be talking to him today, he's winner of the hit reality television show Survivor Africa, co-founder of Grassroots Soccer. I think actually he started that with the money that he made, if I'm not mistaken. And he does volunteer. He's like the epitome of volunteerism, charitable work, community involvement, and a funny guy. Ethan, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. That was a wonderful introduction. So thanks for that.
Well, we've been
Allison. Having...
Hi, honey.
How you doing?
Ironically, we've been having fun on a topic that most people would say is not, and it's interesting as Allison started to describe what she did in order to kick cancer, to crush cancer, sounded like something we should all be doing. Period.
Yeah, I mean, I just do what she tells me to do, and that's kind of how I
do it. Oh, jeez.
I mean, doctors, who needs them, right? You know?
Has she got you pink glitter yet? That's the question.
Yeah, you know, I just, what was the question?
No, never mind. All right, so, okay. So, all right, so you had a couple bouts, and you crushed it, and you're here. And so, as you heard Allison saying a little bit about some of the things that were important to her during that time, which she didn't know were important before, and then she really got into the positive thinking, having positive people around her, really taking control of her life. Like, what were some of the things that were your go-tos, especially the second time around? Like, I got to do this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what Allison said was incredible advice, and I couldn't agree more to have that positive attitude. But, you know, I think it's also important to understand that it's, you know, it's not always, you know, just having that positive attitude. Like I said, you know, like, every day wasn't happy, and every day, as you know, it isn't the best day. But like Allison said, if you surround yourself with a really good team of positive people and just kind of keep them around in your back pocket, you know, it's a wonderful thing. And I love what you said about having faith in that process. You know, you have to trust that the work that these doctors do every single day is going to, you know, save the lives of real people like ourselves. So, you know, for me, I kind of, in order to stay focused, which is really impossible, I did, you know, it's going to sound like we're on repeat, and, you know, a lot of things get passed around in the cancer community because they work and it's helpful. And, you know, it's that sense of, and everyone goes through cancer alone, and no one really knows what it's like, and everyone's going to have their own individual journey. But it's so comforting to know that there are people out there that you can connect with, like Allison for me, and like this guy, Johnny Immerman, that connected both of us. You can connect with them, and you can share experiences, and you lose that sense of, you know, panic and hope, because you know there are other people out there that have gone through the same thing, and then they're alive and they're doing okay and they're living a happy, healthy life. So that was important for me, to know that there's other people out there that I can just share with and hang out with.
Ethan, speaking of having that positive team around you, Allison had mentioned that her doctor commented right away on her attitude. Did you have the benefit of supportive doctors out of the gate? I understand, you know, that a lot of doctors will approach things realistically, but it seems like so much can come from the tone that they set in guiding you through that first diagnosis. What was your experience with both of those diagnoses?
You know, my first doctor was one of the most brilliant women on the planet. She knew exactly what she was doing, and very smart, diagnosed me correctly. However, you know, for me personally, I wanted a little bit of a different experience, someone who was a little bit more, you know, personable, sarcastic, had a little bit of sense of humor. So I switched doctors. You know, I went for a second opinion, I went for a third opinion. Like Allison said, you know, you had to make the decision for yourself. If it's not working, you got to take control of your, you know, of your journey, of your path, of your decision. So, you know, I switched doctors, and then once that happened, you know, things were great. And I had not great, I mean, let's be honest, it really sucked. But, you know, my experience with the doctor was a lot better. So, you know, did he have a positive attitude? Yes. You know, he was honest. And, you know, what I liked is, you know, I always threw the question back to him. I'm like, all right, dude, if I was your son, what would you advise me to do right now? And, you know, stopped him in their tracks a little bit. But, like, he needs to just tell me the honest to God truth. And if he gives me all the information that I could possibly need, then I have the tools I need to make the right choice. And for everyone out there, whatever choice you make, it's the right one. You know, having second guessing your choices is like a death, no pun intended, it's a bad decision, right? You know, there always is the what ifs, or what if I use this chemo, or why they didn't do that intensity, or if I didn't do radiation. Listen, whatever you choose at that point is the right choice. That's how I felt about it. And you have to trust that your doctors are advising you and that you're making the right choice for yourself.
I have to say that you're getting a lot of head nodding on Allison's part. She's like, yes, yes, yes. And every time you make even the slightest
joke,
you're
not just falling asleep. She's
laughing. No, she's laughing. And so I just have to make clear, because you didn't have the ASS cancer.
No, thank God. I don't even have an ass. You know, I left my ass in Africa after playing Survivor.
I left my ass in Africa. There's a song there, by the way.
My brother's always meant, actually, this is a true fact, I so did not have an ass that my brothers, as a Hanukkah present, got me a pair of underwear with ass pads in it to, like, round out my bum so they look better in jeans. I swear to God. I actually wore them to Thanksgiving, and I was like, man, you look really good. I'm like, well, I'm wearing my ass.
Love it. That's great.
I'm laughing. I don't even remember what I asked him. Oh, okay. So I
was asked me.
Yes. No, you didn't have that. Do you talk about it? Hodgkin's lymphoma, right?
Oh, yeah. So, the cancer I had, it's a blood cancer. It's called Hodgkin's lymphoma. I had a rare form of it called CD20-positive Hodgkin's lymphoma. I had never heard of it either at the time, so don't worry about it. But, you know, the doctors, you know, they said it's a good cancer, right? You know, to me, there are no good cancers, just like there's no good wars and no good earthquakes. But I was happy about the diagnosis at the time.
Good for you.
You know, I went through, multiple rounds of chemotherapy, radiation. I had an autologous stem cell transplant. Those are the types of transplants where you use your body's own stem cells, which worked a little bit. Cancer returned 20 months later. And then I had to go through the whole process again, where I had more chemo. And then I had another stem cell transplant. This time I used my brother, Lee, as the donor. So it's really incredible. If you think about it, I mean, I'm a science guy, you know, I love all that stuff, but if you really just think in general, like, about the process, you're like, all right, let's remove all the red blood cells and white blood cells and platelets from this guy, and then let's replace it with a platelet from that guy over there and see what happens. Like, that's really what they did.
Wow.
So, you know, I'm a science project, which is working out for right now, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Wow. Well, good for you. You know, before you came on, we were talking to Allison. We were playing, actually, and having a good time about how, she just wanted to be a Dallas cheerleader, and she became a cheerleader in her own town. Then she wanted to be at Fame. Of course, Fame is in New York, so she ended up at the Fame equivalent in Los Angeles. And, you know, that's how her career went. And it wasn't like she wanted to win or be the best, even though she was winning and being the best and getting what she wanted, but it was just her being herself. And I have to ask you, since we have the opportunity and since here we are, it's like, okay, so you were a professional soccer player and then you win Survivor. Like, in these things, did you say, I'm in it to win? What was your attitude throughout those processes?
I enjoy, I basically followed and pursued everything that made me the happiest. You know, I was very fortunate to have a supportive family that allowed me to kind of try to pursue those dreams, you know. So for me, yeah, whatever made me happy at the time, I'd go for it. You know, being a professional athlete takes hard work and dedication. So does everything that everyone does. So it wasn't just like getting kind of show up and hope for the best. But yeah, this is something I want to do. I gave myself a time limit. If it didn't work out by a certain time, if I wasn't the next David Beckham, then all right, I'd accept that. And that came. That time came, and so I decided to be on Survivor. I was coaching soccer.
I'm going to do something David Beckham hasn't done.
Right, exactly. Although, I mean, yeah, he probably could do it.
But she, like you did.
Yeah, you did. You do it so much better, Ethan.
It's
so much
Survivor better. Like Ethan's on.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know. I was basically unemployed at the time. I told my mom I was in between life choices, you know, unemployed, same life choices, same thing. And, you know, reality TV wasn't, a big thing back then. It was, you know, 2001 we're talking about. when we were all young and in our prime. So that's when I applied as a joke. You never think it's going to be you, and it was me. I think they just needed like an annoying Jewish guy to fill out the roster on the show, and lucky enough, it went my way.
Well, good for you, and actually good for a lot of people, because we also mentioned at the beginning of the show how there, when people are asked, like, what if you won the lottery? What if you won? You went and started a nonprofit organization with money that you made. And so I'm going to turn it over to Allison, because I know she's dying to ask a question.
I know. I've never heard her this quiet.
I'm sure she's living. She's thriving. Good for you. Thank you for catching me on that.
I don't use that word anymore.
Good for you.
She's like, ready. But before, I have so much to say right now. She's like,
Go ahead. No. So before I turn it over to her for one question, you only have one question. Tell us about that. Tell us about the taking the money, starting the organization, and all the benefits and wonderful that you've seen people go through because of what you did. Tell us about that and what you're doing.
Before the television Survivor, like, one of my trips was to Zimbabwe. I played in the Zimbabwe Premier League professionally, and while I was there, I witnessed firsthand what was happening with HIV and AIDS and how it was just, like, destroying this community that I was now a part of. I had friends that got sick. I got friends that got kicked off the team and ended up kind of passing away in this really lonely, isolated little corner of the country, and I'm like, this is not right. And so at that time in my life, I did not know what I could do about it. So I didn't do anything about it, which I'm ashamed of now. But back then, I'm like, what can one person do to help this massive problem in all of Africa? So I didn't do anything about it. Fast forward to Survivor. I went back to Africa. And as we all know on the show Survivor, there's the reward challenges. And I won a reward challenge where I won these two goats, which I wasn't too happy about. But I took these goats to the village, sold the goats. But I was hanging on the parking lot of the hospital in Kenya called Mwamba Hospital, playing soccer with all these children. And asked one of the nurses, why are these just children hanging out in the parking lot of a hospital? And she said, these are all the kids that are HIV positive. So, like, here I was in the middle of this game, this cutthroat game of Survivor, and I had that real-life experience. And it was at that moment I'm like, I got to do something. If this show goes my way, I'm going to do something with the money. So I get home from the show. You know, you got that 15 minutes of fame, which is probably up after this interview, actually. So, you guys, that's a big moment. And so, yeah, I took the money and I donated to start a charity called Grassroots Soccer. We do use the power of soccer in the fight against HIV and AIDS. And we're currently operating in 40 countries, and we've graduated over 750,000 kids from the program. So, something we're incredibly proud of.
Wow. Well, we have some links for people to go to help be a part of this and support and all that. And we should probably get other ones just to make sure we've got all the everything we need to let people know at lifechangesnetwork.com where to go, how they can support you and what you're doing. And of course, support the children and people that you're working with.
Well, thank you. The website's grassrootssoccer.org. So check it out.
FashionStalker.org, exactly.
And I would also encourage people to go onto YouTube and watch some of Ethan's speeches, because they are, they're huge for somebody going through cancer to listen to him talk. And I've said it before, so inspiring. But when you are in that situation and, there's a lot of darkness around you and you see this guy who's done all of these things, soccer player, Survivor, Grassroots. And now he beat lymphoma twice. And I mean, you need that. It's hope, you represent hope, Ethan. And I thank you.
Oh, was that your question to
you.
Ethan?
I had a question for Ethan.
Oh, did you?
Oh, God.
Before we go to break here, Allison, back to you.
For Ethan. Jeez, Ethan, what are you going to be doing next to inspire us? Do tell.
Oh, wow. I think this is it. This is my next big thing, this radio show. So, no, but one of the things that, the most beautiful thing about cancer, and, hard to say the word beautiful and cancer in the same sentence, but the most powerful tool that we have as a society is to share our stories, right? Like, I met Allison through cancer, and we have an incredible bond. We've, you know, worked together. We've passed on inspiring, you know, ways to get through our illnesses together. But, like, the only way the world is going to really take notice of what cancer-like is if everyone tells their personal story and their personal journey. You know, mothers, you know, don't have enough energy to come home and cook for their three kids because of cancer. You know, fathers, you know, see their children die needlessly because of cancer. Doctors and nurses, you know, have to go through this on a daily basis. So, like, these are the stories that we are creating. We need to create the social network of sharing our stories, because every little bit of advocacy helps. And the more the world learns what cancer is really like, the more change is going to happen. And that's what I firmly believe.
And Ethan, what do you think about finding a cure? I know what I think, but what do you think?
I think it's a good idea. You know, maybe we can do it on Easter, maybe, you know, around the eggs, around the Afikoman on Hanukkah. I don't know. I'm going to Chile. Maybe I'll find it there. I have no idea.
You know, both of you, this is, if our listeners don't take anything away, it's, and I know you said it wasn't always happy, of course, I understand that, but the fact that both of you have been able to dial in to such humor around the topic and, you know, maintain as much of a positive outlook and then be able to serve that back, I think that's huge.
You both referred to cancer, Allison, as sexier in a sexy way, you as beautiful, and then in the same breath you say, well, it's not. And so in some way you've touched on this in a way that it's not normally touched on, and I know that has helped already. So thank you both for sharing your stories of surviving, of kicking ass, and of crushing lymphoma, and I'm impressed, happy, proud of you both, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's great, and may your minutes of fame, Ethan, may this add to your minutes, and to both of your lives.
Yes.
All right. I'm adding minutes. I'm gaining minutes.
Google Ethan Thawne, see what happens. Your computer loves that.
Exactly.
Ethan, I just blow that.
Exactly. Ethan, you want to give the website again real quick?
I don't know. It might ruin everything if I do it. I only got like another. I mean, if you have me on next week, then it'll extend my minutes even more. So maybe I'll just wait till then.
No, go ahead. Give your website one more time for us.
Grassrootsoccer.org.
There it is. And Allison, your Facebook page?
Oh, kickingcancers.com is my website, and then you can find all my other social media things are there.
Well, with that, a big thank you to you, Allison Phelan-Egan, and a big thank you to Ethan Zahn, and look forward to doing this again.
Really soon.
Really soon.
Thank you, everyone. I really appreciate it, truly.
Thanks, Ethan.
You.
Thanks, Allison. We'll be right back with our guest. Actually, interesting, a similar last name, but very different, Brad Cohn. When we come back as our musical guest right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We're back, and I'm getting a lesson on how to say cone the English way, I guess. Yeah. What did I say? Con?
Con's right.
Okay.
Brett Kahn, everyone.
Okay. That's who you're hearing. He is a producer. He's an artist. He's an engineer. He's a songwriter. He's a composer. He is, he has had double platinum records in his country of England and beyond, I'm sure, and has worked with such musicians as Amy Winehouse and the Black Eyed Peas and Eurythmics, Paul McCartney. I could go on, actually. Happy to have him here. Thank you for being in the studio.
Thanks
with
for
us.
Having me.
Brad
Kahn.
Kahn. You had something you wanted to share.
I can also relate to cancer. My mother-in-law, so my sister's husband's mother, has beaten breast cancer 2 or 3 times. And my father recently passed to multiple myeloma 3 months ago. And like you, had a great attitude and was a real inspiration to the people around him. And I'm running on quite a little sleep today, but I've been really touched by both of your stories. And even though, like, it's been a really upbeat show and really positive, I'm feeling quite sensitive, and I just wanted to say that I'm really, you know, I think it's wonderful what you're doing and the legacy that you're creating.
Thank you. Very sorry to hear about your father.
Thanks.
But, you know, your music, he's coming through in everything you do, so he's here, he's watching, I know it.
Thank you.
Speaking of your music, your inspirations are?
All sorts. The first song I'm planning to play is from a new project that I'm producing, co-writing, and also the singer of, and the band, the project's called Social Gravy.
Social Gravy?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's all a social commentary, a little bit tongue-in-cheek, although the song's kind of a ballad. We're just wrapping that album in the next 6 weeks or so. And so that's just kind of looking around and taking things in and having a bit of fun with it. Although, as I said, this song's kind of a bit more of a love song, really. But that'll be fine. I recently did a show a couple of weeks ago for the Nepal Relief Effort, and played one of the songs there called So LA, and that's a lot more upbeat and very tongue-in-cheek.
You also have a creative project that you're involved in. What's it called?
Creative Industries.
Yes.
So that's my production company. I develop artists through that. I've been working in Los Angeles since I moved here, a year and a half or so ago, with a lot of independent artists, and I've been, in fact, the Social Gravy is one such project. There's a girl called Jessica Gillette who I'm developing that people seem to be really warming to, and there's a Gypsy Jazz album called Misnomer's Number, which we did the album, we finished it almost a year ago, maybe 8 months ago, and they're kind of getting all the music videos and stuff together for that now. So that's coming out also. And yeah, my Instagram is creative_ninja. So
I was going to ask you, because we've got the link for SoundCloud up on our website, but maybe we should have that as well.
Yeah, so the best places to find me are on my website, which is BradKahn, K-O-H-N, music.com, and my Facebook's the same, BradKahn Music. And then, yeah, Instagram, creative_ninja.
Okay. And then, of course, they can hear some of your music at SoundCloud as well.
Yes.
Actually, of course, they're going to hear some of your music right now. What did you say the first one's called?
So it's a song called Beautiful.
Beautiful?
Yeah.
Oh. Beautiful.
Well, beautiful then. Here's Brad Kahn. And this hasn't been released yet, right?
No, this is from the Social Gravy album, which I think we're going to call Behind Every Yes. And we're just finishing off, as I said, in the next kind of 6 weeks or so.
Well, thank you. I was about to say thank you for sharing the stories that you did, actually, about your aunt, is it, and your father?
Yeah.
And it's coming up on Father's Day. Is this something that would be appropriate to dedicate to?
I'd like to dedicate this performance. This being here, in light of what we're discussing, you know, I'd like to dedicate this to him. Yeah, thank you.
broken down on an open road. It's gonna be some time before I get a tow. I call you up, though my battery's low. Just your voice makes me feel at home. The way you smile proves that there's an order to this game. The miles away, it feels the same. Your eyes are so beautiful. Hide as you might, you're so beautiful. None can deny, you're so beautiful. Time ticks by and my mind unwinds. Caught by the changing patterns in the sky. Waiting here helps me quantify all broken pieces that I left behind. The way you smile proves that there's an order to this game. Never the same. Let's play again. Your eyes are so beautiful. Hide as you might, you're so beautiful. None can deny, so smile proves that there's an order to this game. It's hard to explain, but maybe I'm amazed. Your eyes are so beautiful. Hide as you might, you're so beautiful. None can deny, so beautiful.
Thank you for sharing that, Brad Cohn. That's so
beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, no joke. You know what I wanted to ask you? The No More Idols song? The No More Idols song? No. The one that went double platinum in the UK?
Right.
Yeah. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So so there was a band, Chasing Status. That was the name of their album. Mm-hmm. I was brought in to do some engineering with them. So it was coming off the back of another artist with the same management. So Pendulum, I worked with and was kind of more involved in that project. And because it did well and everyone liked my involvement, then later did some kind of engineering and consulting for Chasing Status. So it was less involvement in the project, but it was great to be attached. And I was in that kind of new wave of EDM and dubstep music that was coming through. And it was a great kind of springboard for me to come to America from. So, yeah, it was a wonderful experience. It's an interesting scene and one that, like, I'm kind of a bit in and out of, you know, because my love is really for performance-based music. So a Pendulum really bridged that gap with a full band and still incorporating, you know, the kind of drum and bass elements. And yeah, just recently I've started working more, like going back into the electronic space. Jessica Gillette, the artist I mentioned, she's kind of like a female James Blake. So that's kind of interesting and quite hip. And yeah, I've been bringing in some other producers to work with me on that as well. So Aaron Horn, the son of Trevor Horn, friend of mine, and yeah, we've been doing something together, and Aaron Green, who's also a local producer. So yeah, you should hopefully be hearing some cool stuff from her in a bit as well.
Well, that would be awesome. Let's give out your website once again.
Sure, it's Brad Kohn Music. So Brad, KOHN Music.
And when they won't be able to hear these songs until when?
So the second song I'm going to play is not released yet, but you can hear on my... Actually, you know what? I haven't even put it out. It's been recorded for a while. I haven't released it yet, but I'll put it up on SoundCloud. It's done. And then this one will be coming out. I mean, we'll be finishing it, as I said, in about 6 weeks. So probably by the end of the summer.
We like firsts at Life Changes.
Yes, we get a lot of them, and that's great. So what is this called, and what is it about?
I'm switching guitars.
From guitar? Are you going to go to keyboard? Or
no, I'm going to stay on guitar, but this one's in a different tuning.
Oh, okay. And so, wait, you play the guitar and the keyboard, and what else?
Guitar and keyboard are my main instruments. I played some bass on some records, and
do you see the smile on his face when he gets
nobody knows of me as a bass player. I'm a closet drummer. But
let's give the credit to the drummers and the bass players who don't get enough credit.
Well, so. I mean, I've played bass on a few, you know, on some soundtrack stuff and some things that got released actually. But as I said, nobody knows me as a bass player, and
Just speaking of other things that I don't know that everybody knows, we were talking about with our other guests their sense of purpose and dedication in other areas, and you're transformationally minded and purpose-driven as well, yeah?
That's absolutely right, yeah. I very much so. I've always had a dream and a vision for the world where products and services are produced ethically and sustainably, and you know, government works for the good of the people and not for big businesses and large corporations. And so I was involved in, I was one of the co-producers of the Global Citizen Festival, the first Global Citizen Festival, which was I think 3 or 4 years ago now. It was a free festival that we did in Central Park for 60,000 people to promote a campaign to try and end extreme global poverty. So they're trying to get everyone on above $1.50 a day. And we had Neil Young, the Black Keys, and the Foo Fighters play. And so that was the start of that. And I've been trying to align, you know, continuously with interesting organizations and foundations. I'm currently developing a TV show that bridges music and meditation, a transcendental meditation with the David Lynch Foundation.
Brilliant.
So that's in development at the moment. And I've also just come through 6 months of doing my own transformational, like being a participant in workshops of a organization here in Los Angeles called MITT, which stands for Master in Transformational Training. They have their office in Marina Del Rey, and they have trainings about once a month. that are hugely powerful, and I've referred it to a number of different friends, and all but one have really thanked me for it. So yeah, I've seen a lot of transformation, actually, is the right word.
And the other one will at some point.
As soon as they transform.
Well, yeah. You know, if, for people who listen to this show and for our world, our friends, this is what we get all the time. You'd think everybody was like this. And we know in the world that we currently see, it's not the case. But the more we have these conversations, mm-hmm. the more we keep referring our friends, and like you just said, and talking about this, the more this will become
the norm.
There you go.
The norm.
There you go.
Spirituality, it's so nice. Thinking. I mean,
it's really interesting that, there's a wonderful community that's created around MITT, and a lot of the people I've heard, guys and girls, say, you know, I wouldn't really think about dating somebody outside of the community now, just because so many hang-ups and fears and limiting conversations are kind of let go of through this training, that, you know, it's just a great place to start, you know. And as I said, thousands of people have gone through the training, so it's not like, you know, you only have 10 people to choose from, you know.
We're going to go. I want to go. This sounds fun.
Let's all go to MITT to date.
To date.
All right, so what are we going to hear next?
So this song is called Just Say the Word. I wrote it some time ago. It's also a bit of a social commentary, and it's a bit of a, like, lean on me type song.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a favorite, and one that just sounds nice on the guitar.
Well, I'm sure it'll be one of our favorites right after this. Here's Brad Cohn and...
Just Say the Word.
Just Say the Word.
The key to work things out, I will turn the lock to all your needs. I'll give my all unconditionally. Just tell me where, and I'll be there. Violence breeds on city streets, where anger draws you its course, and where justice flees the scene of the crime. You feel aggrieved, you feel it down, well, just say the word. I'll come running round, just say the word. Oh, don't worry about it, say the word. 'Cause I understand, in your time of need, if I can lend a hand, say the word. Say the word. From the open field to the desert plains, the protest mounts, 'cause we've been denied. Oh, and where love is lost, we'll count the cost. But in it starts again, so just say the word. I'll come running round, just say the word. Oh, don't worry about it, say the word. 'Cause I understand, in your time of need, if I can lend a hand, say the word. If I can offer resolution to your struggle and your pain, I'm confident you're well
So take hold and take aim and say a word. Just say the word, 'cause I understand life can be hard. But if you need a friend, just say the word. Say the word, I'll come running round. Oh, 'cause I understand in your time of need, if I can lend a hand, say the word. Just say the word.
Mm-hmm. Brad Cohn, go to bradcohnmusic.com. Go ahead, you clap.
It's a great song. I can relate to that.
I can't help but I was thinking.
Right? This is a great song to send to one of your friends who's going through treatment.
I was just thinking that because you said you had a hard time accepting help and wanting to or being able to ask. Yeah. And here he is singing it out loud, saying, "In your time of need, if I can lend a hand." Yeah. Just say the word. Yeah.
There was a whole video in my mind while this was going.
Well, and maybe y'all should talk.
Yeah, we should talk.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I made a conscious decision when I was just before being put in touch with the David Lynch Foundation that I wanted to leave a legacy of positive impact in the world, whatever that looks like, you know. And music's a great vehicle for that. And I've had my own bullshit stories of you know, holding stuff back and when's the right time and whatever and whatever. So, you know, if it touches people and they want to hear more, or more importantly, it can help people and be a light in the world, then I'm so interested. And if that starts in this room, then that's wonderful. And if there's anyone listening who, you know, is inspired either by my music or is interested in working with someone who, you know, has the values that I do, you know, please feel free to get in touch.
And they can get in touch with you at your website,
They can
right?
get in touch with me through my website or through the Facebook. Yeah, Brad Cohn Music.
Brad Cohn Music.
Yeah, you touched me. It's a beautiful song.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Really.
Brad, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
And
likewise.
Look forward to learning more about what you're doing and more of your music and helping spread the word even more. So, Brad Cohn, thank you. And Allison, why are you laughing?
Allison,
because she's inspired.
One, isn't she?
Allison,
I can't read your mind.
And Ethan, if you're still listening to it, he's in bed already because he's in New York. But but with that, what a great show. On behalf of of BBS Radio and Doug Newsom, our engineer, and Studio NoHo and Brent Hahn, our engineer, on behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, and our co-host, Mark Lejeune, I am Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.